As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End, a podcast about a life following Watford Football Club, brought to you by The Athletic. And this is one of our classic, and I think I can call them classics now because we've been doing them for a few years. Not quite sure when a classic becomes a classic. But anyway, Mike made the trip with DCW and, well, a whole host of other Watford fans to Norwich on Saturday. You know the outcome of the game. We won 3-1. Kieranions! And it was a really fantastic win. And this is the story of the day. It's an amazing thing to listen to sometimes because it's quite easy at the end of a game to remember the game and how you felt at the end of the game. But actually, our emotions as fans changes all the time, particularly before a big trip to Norfolk. And it's wonderful. You're here, actually. DCW turned from a caterpillar into a butterfly in a Watford fan way. But it is a wonderful thing. Thank you so much to all the fans that got involved. Remember, if you have not yet subscribed to The Athletic, then we try and do our best to get you the best deal. You can take that up by going to theathletic.com/rookeryend. You can sign up, have a free trial, find out what the whole thing's all about. And, well, this podcast, if you listen to it via the app or the Athletic website, you get it absolutely advert-free. So, let's take a trip with Mike, Arlo, Florence, DCW, Colin, and a whole host of other Watford fans as they made their way on Saturday to Carrow Road.
Good morning, this is Mike. With me is Flo.
Hello.
And Arlo.
Hola.
Hola indeed. And that sound you can hear is the 8:58 tube service from Chesham heading into London as we head this fine day to Carrow Road to watch Watford take on Norwich. Already got the feel of a really, really big day this for Watford. A couple of bad results, as we know all too well. That defeat to Wolves still fresh in the memory, but a real big chance to put things right and get the season back on track at Norwich today. That's Arlo sneezing in the background. Away he goes. Let's hope that's not an omen for the rest of the afternoon. Flo, early I know, so sorry to put you on the spot. But your feelings for the game today, what do you think the score's going to be?
2-0 Watford.
We'll take that. Arlo, this is your second away day of the season. When we went to Brighton, you started off the day really, really confident. We're going to beat you. You were shouting at the Seagulls, telling them they were going to get in the battering. But then slowly, slowly, you lost a little bit of confidence, didn't you, as we got to the ground and you got a bit nervous. How are you feeling about this big one against Norwich?
Well, I mean, they're going to put up their... Well, they're going to try really hard because, I mean, we are probably the second worst team in the league.
Oh, behind?
Behind Brentford, so far, I'd say, because we haven't really got any results. I think it's going to be a tight game, but I do think we're going to win 2-1, and I reckon Sars going to score really early, like maybe the 15th minute. They'll score maybe 10 minutes into the second half and then we'll score in the 70th maybe.
Okay, that's a very exact prediction, like it. Could be a sort of back to the future moment when maybe you've got that almanac tucked in your back pocket if that comes to pass. We will find out in about, what time is it, 9? Oh, we're being held at a red signal. Let's hope that's not a bad omen. Although, what colour kit should we be wearing today, Flo?
Red.
So could that be a good sign?
Yes.
Let's hope so. Yellows, I mean reds. So it's just gone 10 o'clock-ish. We're nearly at Liverpool Street, which is where we're going to meet DCW and get the train to Norwich. Now, I'm really interested to see DCW and Judge's mood, because all week he's been in a bit of a funk, really, to be perfectly honest. He's been worried about the players. He's been worried about the manager. Basically, he's been worried about Watford, and he has not been hopeful about today at all. So I'll be interested to see the sun shining today, lovely Saturday morning, whether he's woken up feeling a little bit more positive. He is in the pub already, so whether that's helped, we're about to find out. Arlo's still sneezing away. Let's hope they're lucky sneezes. Nearly at Liverpool Street. We are at Liverpool Street. Come on, you horns. We're at Liverpool Street. We're in Wetherspoons. There's yellow shirts all over the shop. Some of those yellow shirts are getting stuck into several beers. So the away day has officially started. We found DCW. And my first question, Dave, all week, you've been in misery. I can't couch it any other way. I can't dress it up. You've been worried about the plays. You've been worried about Cisco. You've been worried about Watford. We're going down has been your basic message. It's a beautiful sunny day. We're about to follow the Orns away. Football's back. The fans are ready. You've got your breakfast inside you. Are you feeling any better?
Not really.
Brilliant. Right, well, so we're off to Norwich. DCW has taken up my mantle of being the ultimate misery guts. I suppose it balances it out a little bit because we've got Arlo and Flo both thinking we're going to win. Me just along for the ride. Let's see what happens. We're on the train. We're ready to depart for Norwich in T-minus a couple of minutes. We've just met a listener. Sam, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Nice to meet you.
And you. Now, how are you feeling about today? It's already got a bit of a big match feel. Are there nerves, or you're looking quite calm?
Well, what I'm most nervous about is that we've got a bed and breakfast. I've heard there's no breakfast, so it's not a B&B, it's just a B.
So,
start to the weekend.
Does that sum up Watford's season so far, perhaps?
No, that's more of a D, I'd have thought, rather than a B. Yeah.
But how are you feeling about the match?
Well, it's a big game today. It shouldn't be that big, only four games into the season, but it feels absolutely massive. Yeah. Just as massive as the last one was here, wasn't it? We didn't come on the last, the run-in against Norwich. I didn't expect much from that either, but we won that one. So, you know, I'm a little bit hopeful, but, you know, as a Watford fan, never.
You're travelling hope, not expectation. You're sat next to Al?
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Lovely to meet you. So, you're Cisco. You're sitting on the coach on the way up or in the hotel this morning. Mm. Who's your front three?
Oh, wow.
Shall I go to Dave and come back to you?
Yeah, I think so. I've got no idea who's playing these days.
Dave, you're also Cisco. You're also Cisco. Who are you playing in midfield for this one?
I'm not sure. I would...
I'm really glad that you two aren't Cisco, because so far we haven't got a defence or a midfield or an attack for this one.
Front three should be Dennis, Saar and the King. That's what I think.
He looks like a number nine, doesn't he?
He does. You said that a few times in the pods, I've noticed.
I repeat myself. Once I decide on something, I'm like a dog with a bone. I don't shut up about it.
He looked good last week, didn't he, King? I thought he...
Yeah, they shouldn't have taken him off then, I think. No. But, you know, they gave it a try, didn't they? Because they had, last time they brought, what's his name on?
Cucho.
He scored an absolute pearl.
So we're going to stick with those three up front. So is it the midfield that's the problem then? Is it unlocking those three, getting those guys going? Is that the secret to Watford's success or lack of it so far?
I really liked the fella. I can't again know all these names. Cusco, is it?
I really am. I've never been gladder that you three aren't the Watford coach.
I don't know anything about football.
It looks like you've got tea in your hand. I'm gonna smell that just to work out exactly what it is. Bottom line though, lads, this is a decent team, isn't it? And are we going to stay up?
I think we will finish 17th.
So that your prediction?
I reckon 15th. Oh, I'm going to go.
I'm hoping there's three teams worse than us. That's the bottom line.
We've got enough quality in the squad to stay up. We just need to get a rhythm going and get a regular, midfield selection, I think.
So don't give it too much thought. Prediction for today's game? Score?
1-0 Watford.
I'm going to go 2-1 to us.
I'll have 1-0.
Lovely. Lovely. Lovely to meet you, lads. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Thanks.
I've just bumped into... It's a very Watford-centric train, so no great surprise that we've bumped into another Watford supporter. One you may well know. It's the Brigadier, Colin. Colin, how are you doing?
I'm all right, actually, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. I love going to Carrow Road. Sunny day, massive six-pointer.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot on this game, isn't there? A hell of a lot.
Speaking of massive six-pointer, I just doorstepped you as you came out of the toilet, didn't I? That's how I saw you sneak in there, and I've run down the carriage to see Cole. Now, we've just had the breaking news in the last sort of 5-10 minutes. It's, about 1 o'clock. We've just heard that Dan Backman is out, Ben Foster's in. Does that change your thinking on this game, Cole?
Not really. I mean, the fact that Foster hasn't played a competitive game of football for a year, was it January he broke his finger? So that might be a little bit of a worry, but he's a pretty consistent, dependable sort of chap. He's probably the fittest 39-year-old in England, so certainly the bendiest if his yoga exercises on the pitch or anything to go by. So yeah, no, I feel pretty confident. We were lucky to have him. Someone like that to come in is good. Oh, we're getting into Norwich, mate. The excitement's building. The tension's building.
So Cole is excited. He's happy that Foster's an able deputy. We're going to wait and see. I'm going to press you for a prediction.
2-1 Watford.
2-1 Watford, we'll take that. Cole, I'll let you go and see the girls. We'll see you shortly.
See you shortly, thank you.
It's a little bit like getting on... Nice to see you. It's a little bit like being on holiday. We've stepped off the train and been hit by warmth. It's like we've landed in Lanzarote, but we're actually in Norfolk. Stu, Alex, Hutch and Mini Hutch, how are we feeling?
First of all, just delighted to be here, really. It's always a nice away trip, Norwich. I came here 2 years ago. Where we won, and it was my birthday. And if you ever said to me, we'd have to wait till my birthday, November the 9th, whatever it was, to win a game, I never would have believed you. But we had a great time. Friday night, got very drunk. And then staggering around Norwich the next morning, we looking for a greasy spoon, we happened upon the investiture of the new Bishop of Norwich, would you believe? Yeah, so...
Quite the weekend. Beers, yeah. Bishops and... Yeah, other stuff.
There we were singing. There's only one Archdeacon Graham Usher, etc. So yeah, that's a very good weekend.
Chant takes off today, then I'll pay for your train ticket home. Now then, Alex, we've heard from you. We've heard from your dad. It's sort of he's got slightly hazy memories of his last trip here. We want to know about how you're feeling about maybe the season so far and what you're hoping and what you think Watford need from today. So. The season so far, how are you feeling?
I think the Villa game was decent. It was a good performance, but we haven't really played well. Apart from them, we haven't got results that was needed. And
so, why haven't we played well? Don't you think? What have we been getting wrong?
Midfield and defence. I think the attack's all right.
So the midfield has been the big question for a lot of people. Who would you start? Let's pretend you're Cisco. You're in that training. You're in the dressing room now. Your last minute decision. Who are you going to play? Who are you going to put down on that team sheet? Who's your midfield?
Kuchka, Sissoko and Tufan.
Okay, you're going to give Tufan his debut. All right, fine. And what needs to happen today? I know obviously we want a win, but bearing in mind the sort of state of the season so far and the games we've got coming up, what do you think needs to happen today?
I think we just don't want to lose because Norwich are relegation rivals and that. We don't want to be losing to them because that will just give them confidence.
So here we go then. I'll offer you a point here and now. And we'll get back on that train. The train hasn't left yet. You can go back home with a point. Would you take it?
Yeah.
All right. Dad?
Yeah, I think I would. I'm glad you asked him the tactical stuff as well, by the way. I've got no critical faculties at all when it comes to Watford. I just got to sit there watching through my fingers just screaming, win! Which for a man of 49 years of age nearly is not really appropriate. But yeah, I've got no idea what's gone wrong because I just don't really sort of engage in that to that level. But apparently everyone on Twitter said that it's because we haven't got a midfielder who can get the ball off the back four and pass it forward. And I believe everything I read on the internet. So I think that is what the problem is.
And that's exactly why you've ended up in Norwich on a Saturday afternoon,
yes,
probably.
Hopefully Tufan can be that man, hopefully.
Arlo, the lads here, they've said they'll take a point. Would you take a draw? Get back on the train now with a point, head home?
No.
No? What do you want?
A win.
Let's take the win. Come on, let's go for that win. Stu, Alex, thank you so much. Enjoy the game.
Come on, you horns.
Dave, it's just gone 2 o'clock. We're inside Carrow Road. We've seen the team. A few changes, four changes. What are your thoughts?
Quite a surprise, actually. It seems like Backman's is an injury, so Foster comes in for Backman, which, as we've discussed at length before, not a problem, completely dependable, that's fine. Cleverly comes back in for Atibo, which I'm pleased about. I don't think Atibo was particularly effective in the last game against Wolves. I'm interested to see which of the midfield three play. If it's like for like, does Cleverly go in the deeper role of the three, or is it Kucha, is it Sissoko? We'll see. And I think actually one of the most surprising things is Sieralta. He's not on the bench, and the club tweeted out just after the team news a quote from Sisko saying these are technical decisions. We wanted more experience in the team, so Cathcart's in. And, you know, has he been dropped? Has he been completely dropped? Not even on the bench from last week? I also saw the club earlier on wish all of our Chilean supporters a happy Independence Day. So maybe he's having a knees up back at the folks home. I don't know.
Could well be. He's got an over-exuberant on the Independence Day celebration.
And Kiko's back as well.
Yeah, and that's how it's fascinating that Sieralta is missing from the squad entirely. And there's been a lot of chatter this week, really, about Sisko and whether he's able to make the big decisions, willing to make the big decisions. And if Sieralta's not injured, that's a massive one. But yeah, Kiko coming back in feels like a positive step, I think, doesn't it?
I think so. I mean, I think Ngakia can probably feel a bit hard done by. I don't think he did anything wrong against Wolves. I think he played well and he's probably very disappointed. But we know what Kiko can do, especially going forward. I think he'll dovetail nicely with Saar and with Sissoko as well if he's on the right side of that midfield three. Norwich have got Brandon Williams at left back, I think, today. You know, a young player still making his way into the Premier League, so it could be a tough afternoon for him. And that, as we've seen already in the games we've played, if we're going to score, it's probably going to be down that right-hand side with a combination of those players.
We've talked a lot about our midfield options. We've gone back to a tried and tested figure in Tom Cleverley. Is that because we're playing, with no disrespect to Norwich, a championship-type team that we know that we can probably get the better of without having to get too clever, do you think? Is it that basic?
Not sure, really. I think Sisko, as Sisko said earlier, I think he wants some experience in the team. Cleverley is, you know, he's one of the leaders in the dressing room. He's one of the figures that sort of has helped to fill the void after Troy Deeney's left. You know that he's going to give everything for the team, and it's a big game, so you want your big characters out there. I don't think this is one we can stroll into and afford to just sort of, oh, it'll be all right. He wants, like similar to last season when we came here, and who was it that won us that game? Gosling. It was just through force of sheer will, really. And I can see a similar sort of thing happening with Cleverley today. He's got Cleverley in, he's got Cathcart in. It's like, come on, boys, let's do it. The grown-ups are here now. We've got to take this seriously.
As you can hear in the background, Watford supporters are in fine voice. They're excited. They think they can get a result. Dave, you've been pretty downbeat about everything to do with Watford, including Sisko. Has he got this right?
Ask me again at 10 to 5.
Ask me and do that, we will.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Thank you.
Well, it's 18 minutes gone and it's Watford 1, Norwich 0. And to be honest, they really deserve it. And in the week, Sissoko asked for the team to go for it and to get on the front foot. And that's what they've done so far. They've been the one asking all the questions, all the pressure on Norwich, of course, playing at home. First winnable game, really, for them. They've had a terrible start to the season. And Watford have done what you'd ask them to do, which is get on the front foot and ask the questions. What I'd like to see a little bit more is Ismail Assar getting in on the right-hand side. He does seem to be moving around, which is great, I guess. He asks questions. But already, Kiko Femenia on the right-hand side seems to make a massive, massive difference. But anyway, as you can hear, everyone's happy. So far, so good. Norwich 0, Watford 1. Just 35 minutes gone, and from out of nowhere, really, it's Norwich 1, Watford 1, Timo Pukki on the break. And I've just noticed here that the scoreboard sort of seems to move. It's quite incredible. It moves round to show everyone in the stadium, apart from us in the away end, what's going on. So they've got a moving scoreboard here at Norwich, which is quite interesting. But anyway, yeah, Watford just switched off, and from out of nowhere, it's 1-1, and from being in no danger whatsoever from minute 1 to minute 35, it's it's all level. Interesting to see if they can come back and see what they can do. On we go.
Well, that wasn't so bad, was it?
What I was worried about.
Massive, massive improvement on last week. Kiko down the right-hand side has made such a difference. So positive, so confident, getting some great balls into the box. None more so than that cross for Dennis to head in. Sars looked positive. Sars giving them a torrid time down the right-hand side as well. Sissoko is playing well. Kuzka's playing a lot better than last week. Cathcart looks composed. I mean, I know they switched off slightly momentarily for the goal. If you present Pukki with a chance like that, he's always likely to take it. But on the whole, there's only really been one team in it. I'm very, very encouraged from that 45 minutes. A much, much better performance than we saw last week against Wolves. And I'm a little bit happier now than I was for most of the week. But another 45 minutes to go. We need another 45 minutes like that to get some more goals. We should win this game. We are better than Norwich on that evidence. Come on, you Wolves.
Time. It's Norwich 1, it's Watford 3. Get in there, you golden boys! Yellows! So we're still in Carrow Road, it's emptying. Watford fans don't want to leave for some reason. There's about six Norwich fans and several hundred Watford fans still enjoying it here in the sunshine at Carrow Road. And I'm joined by DCW. Doubting David, as he's just been labelled by Geordie in the WhatsApp group. Have you ever been happier to be proved wrong?
Absolutely not. Yeah, quite more than happy to have my 3-0 to Norwich prediction be rubbed in my face after that. We were brilliant, weren't we? I said at half-time, yeah, it was a really, really encouraging first half, but we sort of won one little moment of lapsing concentration and Norwich were back in and we had to reproduce that performance in the second half. We did that and more. We were brilliant. We could have scored a few more there as well. Maybe could have had a pen towards the end. Saar was brilliant. King was brilliant. They all contributed. Every player that came in today who wasn't in the team last week contributed, I think, and every player 1 to 11 was better than last week, and we were comfortable winners. And that's what we've been wanting to see.
Why was that, though? Why were they able to produce a much better and more cohesive performance? I think we have to be honest, and we talked about it on the way up. The reason we were hopeful and worried about today, I guess, was because we were playing a team of lower quality than perhaps the rest of the Premier League, a team that we know is championship level, like us, if you like, with a team we know. So we have to caveat it with that. But what was it? What's the difference, for example,
between Wolverhampton Wanderers, where he had looked like he had no attacking threat, and here where we looked like a much more cohesive unit. How did that happen?
I think you're right, absolutely right to mention the quality of the opposition. I'd be concerned if I was a Norwich fan after that today. They did not have much about them at all. But we were just on the front foot, I think, from the first minute. We just looked like we wanted it. We had impetus. We had forward momentum. We were really grasping the game. Whereas last week we were quite passive. Wolves are the sort of team that sort of dominate possession. They slowed the game down. We didn't touch the ball, did we, hardly at all in the first 15 minutes last week. But right from the off today, we were straight at them, and we were able to sustain that through the whole game. The substitutes made a a positive impact today, as opposed to sort of how they did last week. But I think the players coming in, Sisko talked about those players coming in adding experience, and I think that was important. I think the likes of Foster, Cathcart, Cleverley, those three players, as I said before the game, it was like the grown-ups are here, boys. Come on, let's do it properly this time.
That last name you mentioned, Tom Cleverley, I think in the first half in particular, he was the one that stood out for me. And we talked about him on the way up, I think. Feels a long way away now, doesn't it? But someone who might be able to aid us in getting the ball in front of our own back four and then doing something dangerous with it. And it felt like in the first half in particular, certainly until Norwich scored, where we had the best part of it, Cleverley was the catalyst, it felt for me, ably assisted by Femenia. He did what we thought he might do as well, which is get on the front foot a little bit. But Cleverley staked a claim to be in the team next week, potentially.
Definitely. I mean, you can't make any changes apart from maybe, I know Kiko went off with a bit of a knock, so maybe he won't be fit enough. But actually, when Ngakia came on, he did well as well. So I've got no issues with that. But Kiko was brilliant first half. Obviously created the goal. And he was great. But yeah, Cleverley is just his heart and soul, isn't it? He was the one that was. It was interesting when you see the long wait for the VAR goal for the third goal. As soon as the referee put into the centre spot, gave the goal, Cleverley was straight over to the fans. You know, he clearly cares greatly about his role at the club, and he is a leader. He didn't have the won't always have the armband, but he is one of the captains, one of the leaders, and he was brilliant. We do need players like him, and I think he should be in the team based on that performance.
Comfortable win in the end, I think impossible to be anything other than happy, and I think it sends a message to Norwich, who will have been hopeful, I think, that they've had a really, really difficult start to the season, which they have. No one would want the start they've had, especially a promoted side. But I think they've been comprehensively outplayed by Watford, and I think that's a decent message to send out to Watford's relegation rivals as well, and it will give them confidence. I think the way they bounced back from a disappointing result against Wolves, where the fans were a bit disappointed, a bit upset, and were starting to get a bit antsy and a bit frustrated and a bit worried, quite frankly, as we've mentioned over the last week. So I think that is a real statement of intent, a really solid workmanlike when it had to be. The word for Danny Rose, I think, and we'll delve a little bit deeper into perhaps some of the other individuals
fast,
on the way home.
Fast becoming a real fan's favourite, Danny Rose, isn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And just as we spoke on the way up, it's almost like we picked it, Dave. We mentioned all the people that could make a difference, and lo and behold, they made a difference. But I think that the reality is it's against a team we had to get a result against. We've done it. And now
bring on Newcastle.
Bit of confidence in the tank. And as Dave says, bring on Newcastle. We're going to the pub, I think. Fancy it?
Yeah, come on.
David, it's 20 past 8. Do you feel better at 20 past 8 p.m. than you did at 20 past 8 a.m.? And why?
I feel a lot better, yeah. Partly because of the, 7 or 8 beers we've already had in that time span.
In the last half an hour, yeah.
But more importantly, the performance and the victory from Watford was.
But let's be realistic. Yeah. So we've beaten Norwich, yeah. But we've all talked about if we lose this, then this is going to happen because Norwich are like they are. Yeah. So where does this actually leave us in terms of the rest of the season, in terms of the coming weeks? I guess we have to divide the season into chunks. We've got a couple of games. We've got a cup game. Then we've got Newcastle. Then we've got Leeds. Then we have an international break. Where does it leave us if we're looking at it scientifically, if you like?
Well, look, I can only speak for myself, but I was going into this game obviously not too optimistic about our recent.
You're not kidding.
Recent performances, and I know we've played Norwich as we spoke about earlier on, but it just gave me a lot of reassurance today that we had.
Welcome to this service for
obviously
London Liverpool Street. Stratford.
I don't know whether the players had spoken to each other in the week, whether Sisko had said something different, or whether it's just the effect of having another week together, but it just looked better. It was just better.
We were on the front foot and it just gave me confidence. And you can say, oh, we've only played Norwich or whatever, but...
People will say that.
Yeah, but you have to win. We all know as fans that there are what... If you look, I was speaking to a guy in the pub earlier on after the game and he was saying to me, ultimately... It was Jacob's dad. It was Jacob from WD18. It was his dad. He chatted to us in the pub earlier on. And he was saying there's basically going to be five teams in this relegation battle, wasn't it? Watford are going to be one of them, probably. Norwich are going to be another. Newcastle are going to be other. Burnley are going to be other. And Brentford will be the other. Probably. Maybe someone else will get dragged into it. But that's more than likely those five teams will be fighting it out to stay in the league. So you've got to beat those teams. We had to go to Norwich today. And we had to get a result for us, for our season, but also to inflict damage upon them. And we did that today. And now we go into the Newcastle game in a much better place than we were. Because if we'd lost today, we'd be sitting here right now going, well, do you think Sissoko's going to be here tomorrow? Is he going to be sacked before the Stoke game on Tuesday in a cup? Does he have to win next week against Newcastle to save his job? We're not having those conversations now. It changes the complexion. And I know this is sort of like feast or famine. I know literally this morning I was sort of, I was, you know, misery guts. But that is kind of the world we live in now. Your mood does swing from one game to the next. But we're in a good place. We're in a good place at the moment. And we have to go into the next game with the same level of performance, with the same level of enthusiasm and an attacking impetus.
Do you think there's a danger that because we've got the results today, we're in 10th all of a sudden, yeah. And for all the doom and gloom that we've talked about this week on the podcast, it's been very... It has been quite low, haven't we? Low is probably the wrong word, but we've been a bit trepidatious, a bit worried and a bit nervous. But now we're in 10th. Do you think that might, again, go feast or famine? We're happy tonight. But do you think that might impact on Sissoko and how he approaches the Newcastle game, thinking... If I nick a point here, does that make it a good couple of weeks?
I think if that's the outcome, if you do get a point against Newcastle,
would you be happy with that?
It's difficult to say. It depends. It totally depends on the game and the performance and the sort of point that it is. You know, if we are, a point can be good or bad, because if we're 1-0 up and then we concede a goal in the 94th minute and we won all, I feel like we've lost. But if we squeak one in the last minute and claw a point back out of nowhere, then great. Ultimately, obviously, the result's the same either way, and it gives us breathing space. But what I think Sissoko his attitude will be, and my attitude as a supporter at the moment, is that we go into it with our heads held high, buoyed from a fantastic performance against Norwich. Players throughout the team confident in their performance and confident because of what they've done, and they've looked at Newcastle, another team that again are yet to win this season, and they got a point against Leeds this week. But you think, come on lads, we're at home against Newcastle. We've got to do the same as we did last week against Norwich. Let's win this, and then you've got 9 points from your first six games. And you're above the if you take it that you need to get roughly 1 point a game. If you've got 38 points, you'd probably stay up. So you're above that. You're above that average, aren't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, we cracked him. We finally got him smiling. It's been a long old journey, but we've made it. And of course, we're talking about Newcastle. We have got a game in between that. We play Stoke in the Carabao Cup on Tuesday, and we will be talking about that game with Adam on the Thursday podcast. But really interested to get your view on what we do with that game now. If you're Sissoko, we spoke to guys on the way up asking what sort of side are you looking for in the Premier League. Now it's a different and quite interesting approach, isn't it? Quite an interesting question. How do you attack the Carabao Cup? We've got a bit of momentum. Do you get guys in who maybe Joshua King, who needs a goal? What do you do with this tournament all of a sudden for a team like Watford?
Obviously, he shuffled the pack a bit today, didn't he? So I would expect him to make more changes for that game. I don't think, as we spoke about on the game, the podcast after the, you know, around the Palace game in the last round, I don't think we should just blithely toss the cup off. We should go for it. We can beat Stoke. We can beat Stoke with our second string, if you like, and we can use this game now as a chance to give Cabasele a game, get Sierra Alta back in. Let's see if Backman's knee's okay, and we get him back in. Yeah, maybe you do start King because he obviously played really well today. Got two assists, really. But he just, you know, a goal would do him the world of good. But then, you know, do you start Ken Semmer again? Reward him for an industrious 15-minute appearance today, and you get him in. Do you bring a Tebow in and say, look, I know you, I dropped you in the week, but go and show me you deserve to be back in the team against Newcastle. That's the sort of, those are sort of questions that Sisko will be having to answer. And we have got enough of a squad to be able to shuffle it quite heavily and still be a team like Stoke, I think. So we shouldn't look at it as an inconvenience. I think we should look at it as a, you know, as an opportunity to go further.
We're the Orns, you're the Orns. Come on, you Orns!
Thank you very much for listening to From the Rookery End. We'll be back again on Thursday with a podcast with Adam Leventhal, where we'll be taking a deep dive, also react to that Stoke City game on Tuesday in the Carabao Cup. I think that's what it's still called these days. Of course, thank you much to DCW. Thank you much to Arlo, to Florence, to Colin, to Hutchie Watch and Little Hutchie Watch and all the fans that came over and said hello to Mike and DCW and got involved with the podcast. We are always appreciative of all the feedback that you give us. The season goes on. We've got another win and it's brilliant to be a fan of Watford Football Club again.
Come on, you old!
The Athletic.